Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeboiser.
Welcome back to another edition of Radio Rotary, made possible by Rotary District 7210.
Each week, we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world. People living by Rotary's motto of service above self.
And today, Jonah, our very special guests are fellow Rotarians, Lou DiPaolo, and Jim, and his lovely wife, Noriko Moriata. And these people have come from the New York metropolitan area collectively.
Right.
And you know how I know that firsthand? Because producer Betty Renner and I picked the Moritas up on the train this morning in Beacon.
Well, we're very appreciative that they've come.
Mr. DiPaolo drove himself from New Jersey, did you not?
Yes, I did, and I got lost in Newburgh by taking the wrong exit.
Oh, you were almost here. You came all that way.
Well, thank you for joining us. Lou, good morning. Welcome to Radio Rotary.
Good morning, Jonas, and I'm happy to be here.
And Jim, good morning. Welcome to Radio Rotary.
Thank you very much.
And Noriko, pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Happy to be here.
Now, you have a very, very special story to share with us involving the Second World War. And we'd like to start with Lou. Lou, you are a World War II veteran.
I'm a World War II veteran, U.S. Marines, and proud of it. And I fought in the Battle of Iwo Jima. And that comes into our story.
Well, tell us about it. How old were you then?
I was 18 on the island.
So you're a young soldier serving your country in a very, very vigorous battle, as we all know from those who either fought with you or know the history of it.
And he was a Marine, my favorite.
Semper Fi. And once a Marine, always a Marine.
Okay, so tell us the story from the beginning.
The story begins really with about being on the island and after the war. The war was then over. And we were deployed then to China to take the surrender of the Japanese and to get their personal effects and such out of Qingdao, China, which we did. And one day I was on warehouse duty, and I ran across a lot of debris on the floor. We were there, and a lot of Chinese people were coming in and out of the warehouse. We had to chase them out, but there was debris there. And I picked up a number of things, pack of cigarettes, Japanese cigarettes. And there was a letter there, which had a stamp on it, so I put it also in my pocket. Nothing happened really now for 63 years.
Because what happened? Fast forward. I mean, what did you do with those items?
Well, I took them home. So that's 7,000 miles away, and I took them, put them away. I used some of them for talking to other people, but otherwise, the letters didn't do much.
They were tucked away.
Well, let's talk about the letters that you put in your pocket. Had they been mailed and received, or were they never mailed?
Evidently, yes. They had been someone received them.
And were they in English or Japanese?
Totally in Japanese.
And did you know what they said?
Not at all, and that was part of the story.
Okay.
Because I then, a few years ago, I happened to see Clint Eastwood's movie, Letters from Iwo Jima. And my mom and dad saved every letter I ever wrote, but I remembered I had a letter also. Didn't know what it said at all. Talked to Jim Morita one day in New York Rotary just a few years ago. And I said, Jim, I have a letter. He said, well, bring it in next week and we'll take a look at it.
You know, before we turn to Jim, who was going to tell us what was in the letter, remind people about Clint Eastwood's film, Letters from Iwo Jima.
Well, Clint Eastwood had a film from the Japanese side, and it showed the humanity in that, and it was quite a lot of veterans don't like the movie. I particularly did like it and do like it and recommend it because it showed the sensitivity of both sides of our battle. The battle's over. It's like a barroom fight. It's over. Shake hands and go home. I mean, it's not quite that simple, but it did turn out that way. The letter was written by a 19-year-old young woman in 1943, sent to her Marine friend, Japanese Marine, who happened to be in Qingdao, China, where I had ended up and found it.
So now, Lou, you go to your Rotary meeting, and what Rotary Club do you belong to?
New York Rotary Club.
All right, and you've got a fellow Rotarian there, your good friend Jim Morita, who is here in the studio with us. So tell us the next step.
Okay, and when Lou showed me the letter, I did, of course, and it was a very sentimental letter, and written by a young Japanese nurse, and it touched my heart. And it touched my heart. And I said, well, this is a very important letter for the Japanese families. And I told we should return this letter to the rightful owner.
Well, Jim, let's get a little bit about your background first. You're a member of the New York Rotary as well.
Yes.
And you were born and raised in Japan?
Kyoto, Japan.
All right. And were you born during the war?
Yes. I was born in 1932.
All right. So actually, you remember the war as a young boy.
Child.
Yeah, about first grader when I was.
Right. Yeah. And your lovely wife, Noriko, were you born in Japan and raised there?
Yes. I was born in Shimonoseki, western part of Japan. And then came over to this great country about 30 years ago.
Right, very good. So, Jim, you read the letter, and yes. You and Lou decide to try and find who wrote the letter?
Yes, and luckily we had the address of the letter. So I suggest Lou, I think we should contact the person that you know, to the address. But fortunately, Lou had a friend, and his friend has Japanese, and I think apparently Lou contacted that friend.
Yeah, what's the next step, Lou?
Well, the next step is actually Jim set up a meeting, Jim and Rico set a meeting up, and we had a meeting with the editor, publisher, owner of the New York Japanese newspaper, who did a wonderful job about reporting what we had found, showed a picture of the letter and that. And it went to six or seven different companies in newspapers in Japan, but nothing happened. We didn't get any response.
And Noriko, what was the next thing that happened as far as you know?
Yes. After we read the letter, immediately I contacted Mr. Miura, who is a publisher of Japanese newspaper in tri-state area.
Now, wait a minute.
And a circulating...
The publisher of the Japanese newspaper is Mr. Mueller?
Miura.
In New York.
In New York.
Then, that sounds German.
Oh, really?
M-I-U-R-A. Oh, so it's a Japanese name. Okay.
Japanese name.
Okay.
And he's a publisher of this newspaper in tri-state area. And they also circulated in several cities in Japan.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I set up a meeting with him at the Harvard Club, asked Lou to bring all the artifacts of the soldiers.
And this is the Harvard Club where your New York Rotary Club meets.
Yes, exactly. And then, Mr. Miura was so moved and then decided to write the story on his newspaper. And then what happened is the meeting resulted in the very exciting and a dramatic article. And Jim and I enjoyed a wonderful reputation about this story. Mm-hmm. We received many calls from our friends.
Right.
And it was a beautiful story.
Uh-huh.
And it was such a moving story of post-World War II and a seeking for a peaceful solution.
And that's, of course, what Rotary is all about. We want
exactly.
to see to it that all
right.
peoples of all race, all creed, all faiths
yes.
can get along peacefully.
Exactly. And then this required cooperation
mm-hmm.
on a global scale, which Rotary Clubs sits there.
Right.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So what happens next, Lou?
Well, now we had no response from the article in the Japanese paper as far as finding the owner or the writer of the letter or the family of the writer. And subsequently, I had a high school friend and a college roommate who was married to a Rotarian. She's the president of the Englewood Club. And we went further through my friend Ron Wittrich's contact to Katsunumi Tanaka, who lives in Hiroshima. And he was born there and he even has a scar on his neck where his grandmother protected him from the bomb.
Oh, wow.
It's quite a guy. But he arranged to come over here and take the letter back to Japan. But subsequently, at the same time, he had found, because he was in TV and that, mm-hmm. he found someone in Fukushima Minpo is a newspaper, mm-hmm. and a reporter found the writer of the letter.
Oh, wait, don't give it away. Let's get people to hang on after the commercial break find out what happens. But first, let me remind our listeners that they're in tune with Radio Rotary on Hudson Valley Talk Radio and around the world by podcast on iTunes and at www.radiorotary.org. My name is Jonah Treeboss, and my co-host is the effervescent Sarah O'Connell, and our very special guests, Lou DiPaolo and Jim and Enrico Morita, all great Rotarians. And Sarah, who brings us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Jonah, Radio Rotary is brought to us by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Arlington, Poughkeepsie, Brewster, Cairo, Congress Valley Cottage, Fishkill, Goshen, Highland, Hyde Park, Kingston, and Kingston Sunrise.
And we'll be back with more Radio Rotary after these important messages.
Not all superheroes wear capes. Most wear jeans, or sweaters, or suits, just like ordinary people, because that's what they are. They are the 1.2 million members of Rotary, men and women whose superpowers are the capacity to care and the desire to make the world better. So the next time you need a superhero, don't look in the sky, look in the mirror. Learn more at Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
For information about Rotary in the Hudson Valley, visit www.rotarydistrict7210.org. Jettelson Giordano & Siegel, CPA PC, is a full-service accounting, tax, and business consulting firm.
JGS specializes in business succession planning, including ownership transition, management transition, as well as family and non-family transitions.
The JGS staff works alongside you to solve the problems of your specific business or personal situation.
JGS is conveniently located on Route 211 in Middletown, New York. To learn more, please contact JGS at 845-692-9500 or visit them on the web at www.jgspc.com.
Jettelson, Giordano, and Siegel, your essential partner in business.
What would you do if a friend, coworker, or a loved one collapsed? Calling 911 alone will not be enough. Over 1,000 people a day die from sudden cardiac arrest. Many can be saved with early intervention. HealthSave offers CPR courses on a daily basis at our facility in Rockland County. We'll come to your home or business if you prefer. Call us toll-free at 877-277-6233. That's 877-277-6233. Or visit our website at healthsave.com. That's HEALTHSAV.com. Leave the E off of save for emergencies. CPR training is for everyone. Learn CPR. Become a lifesaver.
Hudson Valley Talk Radio and online at HudsonValleyTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah O'Connell, and welcome back to this edition of Radio Rotary. I'm joined by my co-host, Jonah Treeboisser, and today we are really chatting about something really fascinating. We're speaking to Lou DiPaolo, who's a fellow Rotarian, and Jim Morita, who both Rotarians of the New York City Club, and Jim's lovely wife, Norika, is here. Jim and Norika are of Japanese descent. Lou, when he was a young man, it's more than just a Rotary story. When you were a young man, you were 18 years old, you were a Marine, you served in World War II, and you were in possession for 60-something years of a letter from a young woman, a young nurse, to a friend of hers who was a Japanese soldier. You had obtained this letter during the war and had tucked it away, had it for 60-something years. Clint Eastwood's movie inspired you to actually open the letter, read it. Of course, it's presented to you. You're looking at it. It's written in Japanese. So you go to your good friend in your Rotary Club, Jim, to have him translate for you. You all collectively put together a campaign to get it published internationally to see if you can track down either the sender or the receiver of the letter. I need to ask, what was the content of the letter once you had it translated? What was in the letter? Norika?
Well, actually, this young lady who is only 18 years old.
When she wrote it.
Yes.
Yes.
And she really thought about how this classmate of ex-classmate of hers.
So it's a friend of hers who's serving in the military.
Yes, and okay. I worry about how's he doing? Is he still alive? And so it is very sentiment.
Very sentimental.
Sentimental for a Japanese young lady. And then the way she wrote was very modest. And then very Japanese style.
Okay.
Yeah. And then My husband, Jim, thought it's a kind of very delicate gesture to this Japanese soldier marine.
To so try and track these people down?
The lighting style.
Oh, I see.
Thinking of him, if he's okay or not.
Right.
Then he really thought that it's a great thing. It would be a great, wonderful gift for her to receive back this letter.
Some 6 decades later.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
So, and were you successful in accomplishing this?
That's where we left the cliffhanger before the commercial break. Jim,
Were you successful in tracking down the author of the letter?
Oh, yes, of course. We had, the letter had the address, and of course, I suggested Noriko.
So that was a clue, to start.
So we had to do some detective work, and she did it. And how you did it, you can explain.
Well, I think Lou's going to tell us a little bit more.
Lou, can you tell us what happened next?
Because we had reached a so-called dead end among us. We couldn't find anyone. And I mentioned it to my college and high school friend, whose wife is a Rotarian, as I mentioned, in Englewood. And he took up on it. Katz Tanaka in Hiroshima had a trace and a search with his friends in Fukushima and found the writer of the letter.
So through your Rotary contacts, fellow Rotarians of Japanese descent, you were able to connect the dots all the way back to Japan and find the young nurse who's now how old when you connected? She's 64 now.
I'm sorry. She's 85
She's
now.
85 now. And who presented her with the letter?
Well, Katz found her and came over here, and I gave him the letter.
I see.
To take back, because he said I should come over to Japan and do it, but that was not possible. So Katz Tanaka took the letter back and traveled up 1,000 miles to her city she lives in and found her and gave it to her. But the story goes on that she didn't marry this young man, but her friend did. And her friend
married. So he survived the war?
He survived the war, but he was on Iwo Jima.
Uh-huh.
Now, we shot at each other. He left Qingdao, China.
You still don't take that personally. He might be a Rotarian.
No, and 23,000. Well, the important thing here is that 23,000 Japanese were killed on Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
216 survived. He was one of them.
He was one of them. So what are the odds of that?
He was captured and wounded and was treated in an American hospital and returned to Japan. And lived 35 years more, I believe, and died there. But he was married, has children, and his widow and Mrs. Yoshida,
the author of the letter,
are still friends. They're still alive and living in Fukushima.
And residing.
And what was her reaction when somebody put that letter back in her hand after over 60 years?
What was her reaction? Can somebody tell us? Noriko?
Oh.
What was her reaction when she had that letter returned to her?
Of course, she was in tears.
Uh-huh.
And then she really mentioned, gracious thank you, in Japanese, arigatou gozaimashita, Lou-san.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So that was thank you very much,
thank
Lou.
Thank you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All the Japanese I know.
I'm impressed.
<That's> good enough.
So, Lou, that must have really warmed your heart.
It did.
You and Jim and Orika, when you read the letter, knowing that you'd had this letter, you read it, it really filled your hearts, and you wanted to take action and make sure it got back to either the recipient or the author.
It does. And what Jim and I have discovered, and Noriko, that there are so many World War II veterans like me that don't appreciate what's happened and what they have in their treasures, their wartime memories. And, of course, many of them, they say 1,000 a week or 1,000 a day of World War II veterans are dying. But the point is they leave something behind, and the family doesn't know what it is. Jim, and between us, we've come up with a thought about what Rotary could do and how this might benefit and help in Rotary to get old artifacts back to their owners.
Jim, you want to tell us about it?
Well, of course, this is a lottery way, it's express, and based on that slogan we have, slogan will be built a goodwill and a bit of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that thought, I think
So you're really living. You're living our motto. One of our
mottos. That's right.
Yeah. So what steps, gentlemen, have you taken to convince other veterans of the World War II era to start saving some of this material, explain to the family what it is, and get it back to the original owners.
Well, we're informally, Noriko's cousin is a Rotarian president in Japan.
Yes.
And we're going that direction, and we're trying to get the message out to the World War II veterans that the war is over and the fight's over, and let's get these things back to people who it means more to. I don't think the treasure of a letter meant much to me, but it certainly meant a lot to people, the family there, and the woman
who
actually light
it.
Candles and can have services for the killed soldiers.
Right,
soldier
the fallen soldier.
It's amazing. So
yes.
We have this treasure we don't know what to do with, and through the Rotary and through the Maritas, who discovered and led me to this thought process,
right.
I'd like to pass that along as a mission that we'd like to and help.
And you said something earlier about having been a Marine, and coincidentally, this young man was a Japanese Marine as well. And didn't you say, once a Marine, always a Marine?
That's right.
So you have that brothership right there.
You might
you were
say
connected
that.
Right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, our listeners love to find out a little bit more about our guests. So, Lou, tell us, when you got back from the war, what profession did you get into?
I was in the blueprinting business, and it was a family business, and joined Rotary because of the Rotary principles, really.
Mm-hmm,
I love them.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been a Rotarian?
Now 30 years.
Right.
I have my badge in my pocket in case I wanted to be identified today.
Yes, and I see you have your Rotary pin on your lapel. Yeah. Yes.
I remember the New York Rotary, which meets the Harvard Club when?
And Jim, how about you?
Every Monday.
I'm sorry.
Because, I came to the United States as an exchange student in 1954.
You were a Rotary exchange student?
No. I was just at the universities and exchange in 1954. And I spent 4 years in North Carolina, and university there. And after that, I came to New York.
And what did you study in North Carolina?
Political science.
And where were you?
Elon University.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, and then you moved to New York. Where did you meet Noriko?
Noriko. Oh, that was long years after. But when I came to New York, I got a good job as assistant to the Consul General of Japan, New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how nice!
I stayed there 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And because I met Noriko, I don't know when, how many years, and so many
she's
years.
Blushing.
Well, she obviously is your child.
Blushing.
She's your child bride, obviously.
Right.
Absolutely beautiful woman. I mean, this is the only the disadvantage of radio is you can't see our guests and how lovely, you are. And how much this has meant to you. And you seem very involved with Jim's club, Jim and Paul.
Jim and Lou.
Jim and Lou's club, the New York club.
Yes.
Noriko, you seem very involved.
Yes,
with the club.
Since being a Japanese member at the New York club.
Uh-huh.
So whenever something like a Japan Day to promote Japan
of
to
course.
Rotarians,
yes.
And I was always there.
Yes.
And also we had a great guest from France who happened to be owner of the chateau, old quaint chateau in Normandy. And we asked him to be a guest speaker. And then also
you are involved in club activities.
Yes.
I can see that. And I
international level.
International level. I would guess that you have a very diverse membership
and
there.
And speaking of great guests, the three of you have been terrific guests. We want to thank you, Jim and Noriko Marita and Lou DiPaolo, for joining us on Radio Rotary. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We enjoyed it.
And Sarah, who do we have to thank for bringing us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Jonah, Radio Rotary was sponsored this week by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Millbrook, Newburg, New Paltz, North Rockland, Pleasant Valley, Port Jervis, Red Hook, Rhinebeck, and Southern Ulster.
For Sarah O'Connell, this is Jonah Treeb-Wasser. Thank you for tuning in and inviting you to join us again next Friday morning at 9 for another edition of Radio Rotary right here on Hudson Valley Talk Radio.
Manja, manja, manja.
It's Conger Valley Cottage Rotary's annual Italian Festival, Sunday, October 2nd at Conger Station Park.
Little Italy comes to Rockland County. Authentic Italian food, free admission, crafts, specialty vendors, live entertainment, and children's activities.
Lots of easy parking, so save the date. That's Sunday, October 2nd for loads of fun at the ever-popular Italian Festival. Rain date is October 16th. For more information, visit www.congersitalianfestival.com. That's www.congersitalianfestival.com.
Join us at the Rhinebeck Rotary's 21st Annual Golf Classic Tournament on Wednesday, September 28th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Red Hook Golf Club.
Registration fee of $100 per player includes a round of golf with cart, morning snacks, and post-play barbecue, prizes, and awards.
Save the date, Wednesday, September 28th. For more information, call Greg at 845-876-7035. That's 845-876-7035. 876-7035. 4!